Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by none other than Manscaped. Did you know that 85% of women think bad grooming is a major turnoff? And that 80% of women think that men should manscape below the belt? 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. So what in the world are you waiting for? Go to manscaped.com today. Find the right tools for the job. The Lawnmower 3.0 is available now. A precise trim. Proper grooming requires precision engineered tools. Not only does a man's sensitive areas require it, but hygiene demands it. Manscaped has skin-safe performance. Combining third-generation innovations in design, power, and hygiene, the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer with skin-safe technology is the perfect tool for an incredible grooming experience. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer is designed with a compact shape for easy maneuvering while wet or dry. It also has an upgraded 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer features precision engineered blades for confident trimming below the waist, and also convenient charging dock powered by USB charged ion batteries for up to 90 minutes of use. That's a lot of manscaping for 90 minutes at a time. The soft ceramic blade featuring skin-safe technology is a high-performance tool. Manscaped recommends that replacing it every 3 months to help reduce grooming accidents and promote optimal hygiene. It is also waterproof. The ergonomic design is waterproof for convenient trimming in the shower. Ultra-quiet operation and low vibration, the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer is waterproof. They said that. Manscaped trimmers are IPX7 rated to protect against immersion in up to 1 meter of fresh water for up to 30 minutes. Probably shouldn't try it, though. But you can get in the shower and do the work. They also have lots of amazing products that cleanse, moisturize, and deodorize. Manscaped skin products, skincare products are infused with natural ingredients to soothe the skin on your most delicate parts and help reduce itching and irritation. They have things like the Crop Cleanser, a moisturizing and hair and body wash. They also have the Crop Reviver, which is a soothing ball toner. Yes, you heard that right. The spray-on ball toner is designed especially for highly sensitive areas of the body. It features soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts for protection. But the one that I'm really happy about is the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing deodorant. Designed specifically for a man's most sensitive region, this deodorant helps to create an anti-chafing barrier and provide freshness below the waist. This is something I wished that I had every time I went to Disneyland with the kids. The other reason I love to support Manscaped is they have formed a working partnership with the Testicular Cancer Society. Their mission is to create an open and empowered male culture that results in more proactivity around self-care and health. So they've partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, to raise awareness about the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35. They help provide help and support to fighters, survivors, and caregivers. So my friends, go to manscaped.com today to try the new Lawnmower 3.0 and all their other products. You won't be sorry. Again, manscaped.com. You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence, and they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope
and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse. We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week, a relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
A lot of people ask, how could you ever come back from something like this? You know, I've been through so much in my life. I've overcome so many obstacles and trials and adversity. I didn't come this far to only come this far. I'm not going to let my worst day define me. No, it's going to refine me. It's going to make me stronger.
You're listening to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. Stay tuned for the next episode. You don't want to miss it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I am your host, Chris Taylor. It's been a great week. It's been a great week. We had a New Year's Eve, got to celebrate with the family, and you know, now we're back in the swing of things for 2021. I started a new semester in my public relations degree path, which I'll be graduating at the end of this year with a bachelor's degree. My daughter went back to kindergarten. My son, he'll be two next month. He's in a regular kind of play date situation. So he's busy. My wife is working. There's other endeavors that I am engaged in that keep me busy. On top of this podcast that has been amazing, has been growing. We've gained sponsors, credible sponsors, to be able to equip with all of this great top of the line professional equipment. And so I couldn't be happier. Everything is going great so far. Gratefully, we have been able to stay healthy through this pandemic. None of my family, my immediate family members, as far as my wife and my children and myself, have gotten sick. It's amazing because usually every single year, my daughter will come down with a nasty cold around this time. You know, she's just ear infections, it's just all kind, you know, just regular stuff, the flu even. But this year, she hasn't had so much as a sniffle, and neither have I, and neither has my wife. And you know, what we equate that to is my daughter's kindergarten class are phenomenal when it comes to personal hygiene. To they from day one when they went to kindergarten, they religiously wash their hands. They have a sink in the classroom. They're constantly washing their hands with soap and water. They sing the happy birthday song while they're doing it. They wear masks. They try to keep distance as much as possible. My daughter is the one who now, when we're out somewhere, she's always reminding us to wash our hands. She's always reminding us of
to cover our mouths when we cough or sneeze. Like, she is the point person for that. And that's why she hasn't gotten sick. Not with COVID, not with a cold, not with the flu, not with anything. And so, you know, to me, that's just hard proof that following simple guidelines, simple public health measures, will limit the spread of any virus, any disease. And I wish that, that more adults could be as, vigilant as my five-year-old daughter is. You know, today I wanted to kind of talk about something that I've thought about a lot, but at different times in my life, I completely throw it out the window and I completely forget about it, and that's to my detriment. And what I'm talking about is social media. You heard me vent about social media many times before, but it's not just social media. It's the media in general, and just people in general. So what I'm talking about is we have this tendency, and I believe that this is the reason why we are in such a horrible place collectively as a country, as a community, as a society, as a United States of America, why we're so divided, why we're so partisan, hyper-partisan. We can't seem to agree on anything. We can't be civil. We can't agree to disagree. We literally can't do anything. And I've said it many times, but I really believe it. And so this is what I'm saying. Politicians in Washington, they do the things they do because they feel like they're hostages to this grand movement, this either on the left or the right. You know, I criticize equal, you know what I mean? I do criticize the right quite a bit, and that's because I have always identified as a conservative and as a Republican. And so, you know, I criticize my house, so to speak, more than I care about the neighbor, you know, the left. But it's equally left and right. We have the small percentage, I would say probably 10% on both sides, that are the extremists, the fanatics, the zealots, if you will, the ideologues, the people who, you know, they just, I don't know, they're insane, right? And they are without a doubt the loudest voices. They're the most vocal. They're the most active on social media. They are, and then the regular media focuses on what they are doing and saying, to keep that cycle going of contention and division, and because that kind of negativity drives the news cycle and drives their clicks. It's the clickbait era where, you know, they basically, what has happened is we've been hijacked by a small group of people on both sides, and our politicians, who otherwise would be level-headed, more moderate, more pragmatic people, feel held hostage by this group of people who are, you know, diametrically opposed to the other side, so much that they will not allow somebody to you know, to veer from the playbook, from the talking points, from the you know, from the manifesto. You know what I mean? Like, they are true believers, and if anybody says a cross word about their leader, then they're out, and they're canceled, and they're ostracized, and they're, you know, whatever. And so when you're in that political sphere where you're running for office in a primary, you feel like you can't say or do anything that's contrary to what this small group of angry loudmouths are saying. And the same thing on social media. When I post something or when you post something, and you know, there's most people just like the post or they'll see the post or whatever. They'll not have one. They won't have a strong opinion one way or the other. They just, you know, go about their business. They do see it. They are influenced by what they see, but they're not, they don't feel the need to constantly put their two cents in. And you know, most of the time, only negativity, only the negative comments are the ones that get posted, because they're driven by anger. They're driven by, you know, emotions, and they feel the need to attack and fight back and whatever. If they feel attacked, then they get defensive and all of that. But what I have to keep reminding myself about, and what I was reminded of this morning listening to a radio show, was that. And it's weird, because when I'll use myself as an example. When I post something when I posted that I was leaving the Republican Party because I couldn't be associated with the hateful rhetoric and the more xenophobic and you know, racist things that were happening, and the now the complete lunacy, delusions, un-American, anti-democratic delusions, I couldn't be a part of. And so I posted that. I was very vocal about it. And you know, I was vocal about, you know, how the whole pressure of feeling like I had to be a certain way to win an election, or to be part of the society, part of the team. And I couldn't speak out about anything. I had to stay quiet and equivocate and all that. And I talked about how, you know, that contributed to my relapse and all of that. And I felt overwhelmingly attacked when I did that. And looking back, because you know, multiple negative comments, you know, they hit hard, right? But then when you think about it, it's like, well, maybe there's 20 people, 20 comments that are like that, or maybe a little bit more. But in reality, I have altogether, I have over 15,000 followers on social media. And so why am I feeling overwhelmed when 20 or 30 people, hateful people, are attacking me? Like 15,000 versus 20 or 30 people. But when you're in that sphere, it feels like it's everybody. It feels like you are, you know, the walls are coming down on you. Everybody's out to, you know, attack you. And really, it's not that way at all. And so, you know, it's the same way when we see these crazy conspiracies that are you know, disseminated online. You know, there's 320 million people in America or more, and maybe, you know, 20,000 or 30,000 or whatever the number is, 100,000 people subscribe to these, you know, crazy conspiracies. And then they're you know, they're furthered on by the media and social media, and the most the loudest voices are talking about it and pushing it. But is that the majority, or is that even anywhere near the majority of people? No, it's not. You know, I really believe that there's 10% on both sides that are lunatics. They are They're just completely live in a different universe, a different reality than the rest of us. And there's 80% of us, 80% of the country, 320 million, whatever 80% of that is, are more, you know, normal people. And yeah, we tend to, you know, identify with one side or the other more often than not. You know, we consider ourselves to be liberal or conservative or whatever, you know, Republicans or Democrats. But most of the time we can see things for what they are, and we can shoot through the political spin, and we can make decisions rationally and without emotions taking over. And the sad thing is that the politicians that give in to that fringe element are the ones that end up getting the most recognition, the most press, the most interviews on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. And so then, you know, that drives in money. And so they're able to raise a lot of money off their, you know, off their BS, off their playing this game of stoking, you know, these fears and conspiracy theories and, you know, whatever, demonizing the other side, dehumanizing their opponents. This plays well with the media. It plays well with clicks online. And so they bring in ad revenue. They bring in campaign contributions. They get the most airtime on the big shows like Tucker Carlson or Hannity or Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo or Anderson Cooper, you know, and then it's just a cycle. And so they end up winning elections because they have the biggest name recognition. And the other people that live in reality can't really compete. But in reality, if we, the 80%, would sort of band together and take back our political system and push out the fringe, the lunatics, you know, just shut down the influence from the social media and all of these, you know, loudest voices, and start looking for people that are able to stand up for their principles and their values. And a good example of what I'm talking about is Senator Romney, right? His party, the conservative right, has demonized him to no end, has vilified him. He is, you know, he is public enemy number one for the conservatives, for the MAGA nation, right? And in Utah, it's a very conservative state, very red state. So how did he win overwhelmingly in Utah? How did he win a statewide race in a place like that? And it's because 80% of people are normal, and they can see Mr. Romney for what he really is. Somebody who is not afraid to speak truth to power, somebody who they may not agree with all the time, but they know that he's going to stand up for what he believes is right. And he's going to, and he cares about the state of Utah, and he's going to represent them the best that he can. And he has the clout and the relationships to get legislation passed that's going to benefit the state of Utah. And you know, there's that 10% of people who are just lunatics who constantly just attack him. And I'm sure, you know, if he reads his comments on his social media, he could think that, wow, you know, I have no support at all. And I think that Senator Flake kind of felt the same way. And I wish that he would have tested that theory of mine. And I wish that he would have ran again for his Senate seat, because I believe, though it would have been very difficult for him to win the primary with the way things were going, I think he still would have won. And then he would have won the general election, and we would still have a Republican senator in Arizona. But that didn't happen, and I understand completely, and I respect his decisions not to to run. But so you know, yes, this is sort of political, but you know, take politics out of it. Just take your everyday life. Take things that you post, and you know, your parenting skills, you know, are on display when you post things about your family, how you you know, how you scolded your child or whatever, you know what I mean? Just regular everyday non-political situations where you know, that one or two hateful, angry people post or comment a negative comment that feels like it's an attack. But think, how many people do you have on social media? Right? Do you have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 friends? And there's five or even 10 people that are being completely hateful. Who cares? Right? That's not the majority. That's not nowhere near a majority of people. And for the most part, you might not know how everybody feels. But in my experience, for the most part, the more positive reactions to, you know, they just don't feel the need to comment. They see it and you know, they don't really have a strong opinion about it either way, but mostly it's a, you know, positive. And so keep that in mind. Don't listen to these negative, hateful, angry people who feel the need to always post on your, or comment on your situations. They don't know anything about, you know, the true story. They don't know anything about your situation, and it's nowhere near their opinions, or nowhere near the majority. And so, you know, who cares what they think? I know it's hard, because it feels overwhelming when there's, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 people that are chiming in a negative way, and you feel like, wow, you know, everybody hates me, or everybody disagrees with me, or everybody, you know, whatever. It's not the case. It's not the case. Nowhere near the case. There's still 80% of society that are normal, regular, good-hearted, level-headed people, and we, the 80%, need to take a more active role in our collective dialogue, in our discourse, in our politics, in everything, in our community affairs, in our society. Let's not let this lunatic fringe, this small amount of people, overtake our entire process and our entire society. We have the power to push them out, and to, you know, to bring positivity to people. If you have a positive thought about something you see, comment on it, right? We can flood social media with positivity, with gratefulness, with things that bring joy to other people. And this is a big problem with teenagers. I noticed that on my statistics that I do have a small following of young teenagers and early 20-year-olds. This applies to you, as you know, maybe more than anyone else, because of the way that bullying and this is the same way that it goes on when a teenager feels bullied online, because you know, maybe they have 3,000 friends and they feel attacked all the time by 10 or 15 people. That's nowhere near a majority. That's a small, minute number of people that are doing those negative things. So block it out of your mind. And those of us who want to bring positivity, comment that positive, you know, make that positive comment. Hit that like button on somebody's post. And it doesn't take more than a second to make somebody feel wanted and worthwhile and to feel good. You know, I wish that it wasn't this way. I wish that we weren't so attached to social media and so influenced by it. Our emotions were so connected to it, but we are, and that's where we are. So let's use it for good, right? You know, there's people that constantly post things, happy things, nice things, and they get one or two likes and they feel like, wow, nobody cares about me. Go ahead and hit that like button on somebody's post. You know, that heart or that whatever emoji, the care, you know, whatever it is, that has an effect on people, and it can be negative or positive, especially for teenagers. So that's my message today. Don't listen to those crazy fringe people, the small minority of people. You know, keep in mind that it's a small amount of people who are negative and hateful. The rest of us are regular, normal, happy, good-hearted people. Thank you for listening to the Come This Far podcast bonus little episode with Chris Taylor. I'll see you on the other side.